Yo, listen, we're not gonna use the same intro. A lot of you guys have a lot of questions as to where me and Muhammad were. Now, there's a lot of angles you can look at this. The first question we're gonna answer, we did want to record. We did want to record. I know the last time we uploaded was Best Man, I believe, January 31st. However, a lot of things has happened in Muhammad's life and my life that did not allow us with conflicting schedules, guest flopping, and yeah.
Yeah, but how's everyone? Nice to It's too funny.
But I want to give a shout out to Dart Adams, bro, because I don't know why I forgot to like tag him in that post, which I did. The man commented, he was like, "Start Boston, bench Lakers and Bulls to the moon."
Yeah, Dart in Boston is
It's like us in Toronto.
yeah, no, it's not. You can't even compare, man. That is, this guy bleeds Boston, bro. It's literally insane.
Sky blue. Actually, his love for Boston is this is Michael Jordan's hate for Detroit.
No. It's like his love for Boston is like Spike Lee's love for New York, I would say.
That's actually a
Yeah,
good
I
analogy
think that's the
because
same thing. Yeah.
Spike Lee also pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah. So the way Spike Lee uses his whole
He
like
pissed off Reggie Miller.
his whole canon as far as like films, music videos, and documentaries to obviously illustrate New
Yeah.
York as a backdrop. The way, same thing with Dart Adams when it comes to Boston. So I'd love to see if he has those resources, those connections, to see what he would actually be able to do as far as allowing the public to know more about the history of Boston and the untold stories that most people often pass on. So yeah, shout to Dart. Shout to
Shout out
Dart.
to Dart, man.
So yeah, besides that, as far as like where we've been, like Osama said, we've been super busy, super, super, super busy. I know for myself, I don't, yeah, I never really talked about it, but since the time that we started 2.0,
Just every edition, right?
yeah,
Edition
so
here.
technically it was 2020,
2020, we mean
2020,
you took over the whole thing
yeah,
again.
2020, and then the following year, 2021, I started the school, and the funny thing, well, maybe we'll do like a Easter egg eventually. As far as like the funny connection between the videos that we recorded to where I actually go to school now, we'll probably say that for the
Oh,
future. Yeah, it's very, very funny. But I started school 2021, and my whole goal was with doing university was to fast track. I wasn't gonna do it in 4 years because I did college prior. I knew I could do it in 2.5 years, and that was a lot. It looked easy in the beginning for the most part. I would say about like 85%, but
a lot of pressure.
eventually catches up, you know, because it's just nonstop summer and
Well,
everything, stuff like that,
I think also
sacrifices.
just you don't take the consideration what else is gonna be popping up into your life.
Yeah, so things just happen so quick and simultaneously that to the point now I have a month left and I am so happy. Like, man, I am ready to just, I've been telling everyone that the first thing I want to do once I'm done school
Jump in the jacuzzi.
is jump in the pool.
Jump in the
Jump
jacuzzi.
in the pool. I don't swim. Funny thing is, the last time I actually went swimming, I drowned in a lake,
Can
2 years ago.
I say something?
But
I remember this side note. This guy, when he came back, he's like, "Bro, no way, I'm about to die before my wedding."
yeah, but yeah. So because of that, I haven't gone swimming since. But this time, I'll make sure it's in a recreation center in the shallow end
lifeguards.
with lifeguards present. But I just have to. That's the first thing. I got to do off the
And
rip.
on my end, I'm pretty good at managing time, but just there's other stuff that also affected us like family personally, that things that happened really did not allow us to record aside from conflicting schedules. And also, again, this is not really the biggest point, but also like what's happening in Palestine right now is
Of
like
course, of
there's also
course.
like kind of like there's certain topics we want to talk about, but it's kind of
Yeah.
hard. And every time we want to record, something happens. But the goal, inshallah, is to continuously get back on the track because we
Yeah.
did. Everyone keeps asking me, by the way, for everyone who's messaging me to record, I'm saying it's not like we do not want to record. It's just hard with his busy life and my busy life that we see probably each other once a week.
Yeah.
I won't say twice a week at the mosque, but like
Yeah.
when we're able to record, we're able to record for a short amount of time. But the goal is going forward to record more. In the documentary, you'll probably find out way more. This is your answer. Well, how long, how many? It's 4 minutes in. You guys got a 4 minute answer in terms of why we couldn't record. But of course, half of it is like because he's in school and like he just wants to graduate. Inshallah, after he's done school,
Inshallah.
it'll be a little bit easier to record. But speaking about, I guess what's happening, Ramadan is in a couple months.
It was at this moment that he knew he
Usually, we always talk about Ramadan. This time, I'm not sure how many episodes we'll do about Ramadan, but we're just gonna talk about because when we were 18 years old, or even younger, I don't think we took Ramadan seriously.
Oh, very, took it for granted.
It was always like,
it was normalized, right?
It was always like, yo, what are you going to eat? Yo, what's for sahur? What's for iftar? I think it's like, to your point, when you're looking back now, going back 10 years ago, how would you say 18-year-old Muhammad took Ramadan?
Yeah, definitely that teenage years, you know, from like 14 to 18, I did not take it as serious. During that month, it's all about striving to be the best it can be, right? So everything's removed as far as your sins and those thoughts and desires and stuff like that. So you mm-hmm. want to be in the best state of mind, at the same time enhancing your way of life as far as doing more of things you have done before. So it's really a month of just cleansing and purifying yourself, right? So that's why my dad always made sure that we did not take any day for waste, because these 30 days or 31 days is unlike any other month in the year. But when you're young, it's the most thing you care about, like you said, is just eating the different types of food you're going to have, family coming over, going to someone's house, having a community event every weekend. I know for us in the Ghanaian community, every Saturday we have like a special iftar night. So uncle will do like a tafsir, and then after we eat all the food. So it's me and my cousins hanging out, having fun and everything. And also if you go to the masjid as well, you'll see you and your friends doing tarawih as well, and just like laughing and joking. And the thing is, like, you know, when you're young at that time, at least for us, because we're speaking about growing up in the West, you know, as far as those who weren't as serious, it's just like, even those during those big moments when it's just like, make as much dua as you can as far as like for what you want in the future and stuff like that. It's like you get it, but you don't really see it as far as what you want or what you need in the future, right? So,
You know, it's actually interesting you talk about dua, because I think when you're younger, you look at Ramadan as a struggle, because you know, it's like, man, why am I fasting? Like, why do I gotta eat? Like, why is everyone else eating? I actually remember, like, even prior, like, Muslims, I remember, I'm not gonna call it no names, but I just remember Muslims, like, they would pretend as if they were fasting, but they would want to go out, eat burgers. And I remember in my head, I'm like, it just didn't make sense to me. Why, like, Ramadan to me, legit, bro, it was like the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, and at that point, when we started beginning fasting, it was in the summertime.
Yeah.
So, like I remember, like people start fasting around the age of, like, fully fasting. Some people start aging around the age of 14. I know there's some Muslims who start before, like, start practicing, but I know some Muslims start, so we're just going to use the age of 14 for a lot of Muslims. And I remember at that point, like, I would see Muslims, like, eating, like, bro, at least if you're going to eat, don't eat in front of other Muslims, bro.
Yeah, that was
I'm like, at least eating in front of, like,
oh, in school. Yeah, we used to go for lunch and everything.
You'd pretend like you're fasting. It was like, yo, I can break my fast one time.
That's too funny. No, that was wild. It was just like, you go for lunch, you and your friends, and obviously you're fasting, so you're not eating.
Yeah.
But the Muslim friend is just like, has like a full meal of like burgers and fries.
Like, what is this?
You're just looking at him like, yo, what? And that's another thing. Like, I can't think of it now, but we definitely need episode we have friends on, and we think of all the excuses that people said during school.
Bro, I remember one excuse
as to why they didn't fast. Insane, bro.
I remember
insane.
One excuse back in 2015 when I used to work for Beats by Dr. Dre. Shout out to them, man, to those headphones. I remember I was like, one guy was like to me, I actually got mad when I heard his answer. Here's the thing, obviously, there's stipulations in terms of fasting, obviously, the health conditions, whatever.
Yes, yeah.
And obviously there's routines of what you have to do. I remember this guy comes up to me, he's like, yo, I can't fast. I'm like, well, why? Like, are you like sick? Or you're like, do you take medication that like stops? He's like, no, bro, just hard. I'm like, are you dumb? If you say it's hard, I'm like, bro, no, it's hard. Like, it's supposed to be hard. You're sacrificing food, water, obviously, if you're married, like intimacy with your significant other. And I'm like, bro, it's not supposed to be easy. It's, of course, supposed to be hard. You're supposed to have that faith. When he told me that, I'm like, bro, so you're telling me, because he's like, Allah will understand. I'm like, I don't think he will understand. Because Allah asks us, like, to sacrifice these desires for this whole month. And by the way, Ramadan now, as I get older, passes by fast.
Very quick.
You mentioned dua. And I think dua is, like, let's say, for example, you want to get married like myself, or you want a job opportunity, you want anything. It could be whatever. Yeah. Use that time after, like, Isha, after Qiyam al-Layl, after Taraweeh, after Tahajjud, whatever. Attempt to make dua. There's that one moment you should be making dua. And this, if you ever made dua in your life, that month should be that moment where you make dua. That month should be that moment.
Yeah.
And I also want to say one thing as a side note. We should not be hating other Muslims if they try to get more religious in Ramadan, or they try to, like, take their life better. Because, again, like, we kind of spoke about it last time, I think a couple year ago, when we were talking about Ramadan is, like, the month of trying to get better, then you have 11 months to prepare for it again.
right? Don't hate anybody else. Okay, someone goes back to his old ways, okay, but try to advise them or try to do whatever.
Of course, of course.
Don't hate someone for trying to get better during Ramadan. That's the point, is to get better during Ramadan.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And then, like, I love the point that you said that, like, back then, the companions and everything, they treated it like a main event. So
yeah,
they looked forward to it. Like, 11 months in, 6 months in, they would prepare themselves and train themselves because they know this is the main event, right? So
this is the main event.
So for some people, they're able to prepare months before, some a few weeks, some a few days, and some when it starts itself, right? So we cannot judge or try to downplay or limit someone because, like you said, it is the greatest month of all time. There's nothing like it.
The fastest
month. The fastest month too. Like, for every Muslim, even if you do a lot or you don't do as much, whenever the month leaves, you always wonder and ask yourself, I wish it was longer. Why did it have to leave so sudden, right? It's incredible.
I just remember, I actually remember like maybe a couple years ago when we would go to Sahur. So some fun stories. I remember, like, I think also you had a mindset. We were a lot younger and, like, in our head, we just cared about Sahur and, like, iftar, where we're going to go eat. I remember, like, we would always have a group chat, like, yo, where are we eating? Someone mentioned, oh, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. Not to say you can't be doing them. Obviously, if you have the time to do it, our schedule no longer works. We can't do that. I think it only happened once last year,
yeah.
I was shocked that it happened.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact this year's probably not going to happen at all because I'm going to be very busy with prayers. But my point is this, is like, it's okay to go out to, like, Sahur and do whatever. But genuinely, if you know, like, you can take that 1 hour out of your time, because in that 1 hour, your dad could get accepted a year from now.
Easy.
Just by you making that one small prayer or consistent prayers.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people look at Ramadan and like, ah, bro. Don't sleep, by the way, bro. Like, don't sleep. I remember people would do that as a cheat code. Like, hey, man, I'm just going to sleep a couple hours. You know, I'm like, dude, you're still fasting. Go live your life as daily. If you're working, go work. If you're at home doing nothing, go help up your parents. Go prepare your meal. Go do whatever. Because this is, I think, the first time in a long time where it's only 12, 13 hours that we're fasting.
Yeah.
As opposed to before, we were fasting 18 hours.
Yeah, 17 hours.
17, 18 hours. This is, like, one of the easiest Ramadan. Just because it's the easiest Ramadan does not mean we start slacking.
No. Not at all.
Don't be like Danny Green, bro. That's a good analogy.
Shout out to Danny Green. I know, he's like, what did I do?
He missed that shot against Miami, bro.
Yeah. Shout out to Danny Green.
Shout out to him. But let me ask you a question about Ramadan.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned a beautiful point. Like, Ramadan passes by so fast. And when it passes, you want it to stay. Like, you're hoping it stays longer. What is one, if someone's fasting for the first time, or someone's taking Ramadan seriously, what is one thing, what is one takeaway they should take away this Ramadan? And what should they be doing?
Yeah, if it's your first time or you're a beginner, or even then, if you're a Muslim and you're not as religious and things happen, there might be a huge test that you might go through that might awaken you to actually want to take your life more serious as a Muslim. So you're like, you know what? I'm going to put this down. I'm going to step away from this. And I'm actually going to walk towards this path and I want to fast. It's not going to be easy in the beginning. If you're not used to fasting, even for Muslims, like Ramadan itself, like, it takes about 10 to 15 days for your stomach to actually adjust and to wake up in the morning and you actually do not feel like eating, which is an incredible feeling. But still, those first few days, yeah, it's going to be very grueling. It's not going to be easy. Your schedule, if you do work, school, and all these different things, it's going to be hard to adjust and get used to being at that pace like before. So take it easy. Do not overburden yourself. Do not put so much pressure. If you are a beginner as well, I would highly advise you to be a part of a group. There's nothing better than being a part of a group of Muslims, young Muslims. If you're a young person, like-minded individuals, that's all striving in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you know a group of people at the mosque or people at your school, they're religious or just trying to get together and they're together when it's time to pray, like iftar or just tarawih as well, join them, go out with them, have like-minded conversations with them, because instead of feeling as if you're by yourself on this trial, you're actually amongst a group of people who are like-minded, beautiful, and just trying to strive in perfection. So by doing that, it makes the challenge become more easier. And plus, you're part of a brotherhood or sisterhood, and you feel more welcomed, and you're able to have those conversations, right? So I definitely advise that as well. And another thing too, like, go to the masjid, attend. During this month, obviously, like, we don't go to the mosque as much as we should, But this month is a month where you should definitely attend as far as the night prayers, as far as, because the community, that's the one thing that saddens me about Ramadan. It's the only time the community actually comes out. It's right in the West, at least where we live. It's the only time you'll see everybody come out. Some days, more days, especially on the 27th, as we know why. Yeah. So to see that sense of community, that sense of belonging, it gives you an idea of what we could be if we actually use all our resources together. So for as a beginner to see that, it's going to make you be like, oh, this is a beautiful thing to be a part of. And you never know who you're going to meet during that month at the masjid. Whether it could be a friend, a partner, business connection, all these different things. So this month is a month of obviously trying to be the best you can be. It's a sense of belonging as well, as far as learning from those or giving knowledge to those that need it. And at the same time, seeing how the Muslim community is more stronger than ever in this month, as we give up our desires for things that are more better in terms of things that we need, right? So I would say those things are very helpful. And prayers, always make prayers. It doesn't matter how, it's not like you have to make 1,000 rakahs. Like, we're not expecting you to do that at all.
No.
Small steps, small baby steps. And by all means, if you don't know how to read the Quran, you can find listen to it. You can have the Clear Quran English translation, listen to it as well. Online, watch lectures about Ramadan as well. Dr. Omar Suleiman does amazing web series
Inshallah.
He has amazing web series about these topics, you know. So I highly suggest watching his content and also other imams as well, too, as far as the benefits and the virtues of this month and family. There's nothing like being with family too, you know? So, yeah.
Just add on to your point, because I think you said everything so eloquently. I would just say, just add on to his point, because I don't know where I can even say, because it was well said. But my point is this. In Ramadan, obviously, Muhammad said one thing that really stuck up to me is stay in good company. Because I just remember, I'm not saying I was never in good company, but I just remember when I was younger with my friends, we'd always be out in malls, whatever. Now, I'm not saying you have to be the most religious person, but try yourself. Like, you know, like, for example, I don't listen to as much music as I used to. So I just know that if I'm in the gym, that's the only time where I listen to music, because they play the worst music. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to be listening to music, I'd rather it be my own.
Yeah.
But in Ramadan, try, for example, to put no music, or try to put nasheed, try to have the Quran play, or reduce the amount of time of music you listen to. And I know it's tough, because again, I remember one time I was actually, funny enough, one of the guests that we've had on our podcast, Brother Osama, I was on him. We were talking on Clubhouse. And this is Ramadan 2021. I remember he was saying, for someone who listens to music a lot, you can't expect them to, in Ramadan, to immediately stop. It's like, it's a progression. So Muhammad, we just mentioned the off-season. So off-season, 11 months through the next Ramadan, try to reduce your music time. Like, if you listen to 5 hours a day, try to listen to 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day. To the point where it's like, okay, now you only put music. Now when I put music, wallah, I'm not even lying to you. I'm switching the songs, because I don't know what song I even want, nor do I care. So sometimes I just end up closing it. Or you only have it as background.
When it doesn't have the power over you.
It doesn't have the power over me. I just don't really care to hear the music. Like the other day, my friend texted me because Drake dropped a song, and I just really didn't care. I listened to it, but I had to skip through it because I have no interest anymore of like what they say. And lastly, I would say, before we kind of like move on to our next topic, is at least for me, my last topic would be, aside from good company with friends, it is sad. You did mention it. It's sad that Ramadan is the only time where the Muslim community is strong. It's like you there's people you'll see who you haven't seen in years. Like, where are you, right? or you haven't kept in touch with. So yeah. I would say this Ramadan, let's try to, like, obviously, you know, it's not about who prays the most. It's not about who makes the most dua. It's about
your journey. Or most donations as well. Most
donations have nothing to do with
that. Like, even during that moment where they're trying to do a fundraising, do not feel as if because you didn't donate $20,000, $15,000, $10,000, $5,000, any one of those were only donating $10, $5, donate it. Do not, even if you feel as if you can't put up your hand because they won't be able to see you being one of the last people donating only $10, $20, once everyone leaves, go up to the person and be like, hey, I have this.
$10.
Do not stop yourself.
By the way, just a side note, if your intention was to give that $10,000 in your heart, like, I would give that if I had that, that $10 is equivalent to that amount because of your intention. So just add on to Muhammad's point, don't feel as if...
Belittled
and like, take this opportunity of Ramadan and just like, it's a holiday. Like, people have Christmas, like, obviously Christians have Christmas. We have a Ramadan. Or for us, it's like it's a 1 month holiday for you guys to get closer to Allah, to get things accepted, to make as much dua. And by the way, for dua, just one piece from me, coming from me, because I'm a huge supporter in this concept. If you want something, you don't pray for it once. You'll pray for it consistently, consistently, and consistently. Like if you want, if a certain person you want to marry, you know this person is different. You pray for them. Because Allah will test your patience in Ramadan double, saying, okay, if you want this person, or do you want this job, you'll continue praying for it. So don't let them, and this is, and a lot of people, by the way, we just went to a funeral recently. It's one of our friends, like his father had passed away. So the main goal is a lot of people who did not see this Ramadan, who are not going to see this Ramadan, you have the opportunity to see Ramadan. May Allah allow us to continue to see more Ramadans.
Amen. And to finish the month.
And finish the month.
Be allowed to finish the month.
Be allowed to finish the whole month. So yeah. Remember, guys, make as much prayers. Try to like not speak ill of people. Don't get as angry as you possibly can.
Of course, of course.
Be a good company. That's my last point for Ramadan.
It's true. Just things that you do good, extend it, multiply it as much as you can. The things that you do not do good at, and that's very terrible to who you are as a human being, limit and try to reduce it to the point where it doesn't exist. This is the way, as far as the tangibles, that we are able to be the best of Muslims, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Oh, also another thing I want to say was for anyone that's been attending the protests, as far as the Palestinians, the support downtown, other cities as well, shout out to everyone. But recently there's been a lot of attacks by different Zionists, individuals or collective going around. Like,
good point.
To see all these videos and to know that a lot of my peers, our friends are there, we definitely want everyone to be more safe, make sure that you're okay, and figure out alternative mechanisms to make sure that you are not in harm's way, because these people and who they are have no class, no taste. Even if you disagree on such a topic, make your stance clear by debating back and forth, hearing their point, hearing your point, going back and forth. Obviously, during a protest, emotions are high. People feel a certain kind of way. If that's not the way, by all means, walk away. But there's no means whatsoever for you to go and attack people by using a nail gun, by pepper spraying, or by fighting and pushing. Doesn't matter if the person is young or an elder. Peacefully protesting, that's no... There's no presence for that. We don't allow that. So, and we all know what the media and everything, if it was the other way around, how they'd spin it and make us look. So the fact that these individuals are doing this, by all means, everyone that's attending, please be safe. And by all means, if things do happen, make sure you figure out a way to protect yourself and others around you. So yeah, I just want to get that out, because
it's been
happening more recently. So
you see the attacks on Instagram or TikTok or wherever. But I will also say one thing also for us people who are coming to Palestinian protests, and I've seen this at some. Don't make yourself look like an idiot. You're here to send a message. This is not about you. This is about them.
Yeah.
It could be any cause. It could be about like when George Floyd got shot. It could be any protest. If you're going to, it could be about any situation you're here for.
Yep.
It's not about you. It's about them. So when you're going there, use your voice. Don't do anything stupid or like childish or ridiculous. It's going to like make the city be like, okay, there's no more protests no more. You're not getting your voice across. Obviously, be safe. As Muhammad said, don't. Like, if you see these dangers, like, make sure you do the right, you know.
Yeah, like, some people make unremarkable threats to police and like, individuals.
The police are as scared as you are, because they don't know what weapons you have or what things you have on.
They assume, right? So, by making these threats, or it creates assumptions that could possibly turn into reality, right? So,
yeah, and
you have to be more cautious.
My thing is like, you're going there to obviously have a great time, speak your voice. Like, I've been to a couple.
Yep.
I haven't been in a while, but because I've been up until a couple in the, before the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want to see, I really do not believe there should not be any dancing. There's lives and matters. 30,000 plus people have died, between majority women and kids.
Yeah.
And it's people who have been displaced. It's people who have, like, actually just, when I hear stories like this about, like, Gaza, or like even other parts of Palestine, or even other parts of the world, it should make you think. It's like, this is not a joke. We need to, like, ensure that the right information is getting across. When you're going there, ensure that You're going there to be selfless. Going there to like send a message to the government, and respectful. There's no need for threats. Threats gets you nowhere. In fact, when you're angry, you're threatening, your thought process starts getting delayed because you're not able to think properly. So just know that, go with an open mind. Of course, have fun, be safe. If you can go with your friends and like free Palestine with your heart, amazing. But just as Muhammad said, also side note, there has been a lot of attacks. So don't be the one to attack them back, your life means way
don't
more.
Don't fight fire with fire. No.
Two wrongs don't make
a right. Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right.
It's which not, I used to always hate as a kid.
Mother. I remember, I know. I used to hate that statement.
I don't know, just off topic. I used to hate when someone used to tell me two wrongs don't make it right.
Yeah, so annoying.
Like, especially.
I know they don't say that anymore, too.
No.
It's insane. Two wrongs.
You know what used to make me mad? When you would go, this is like, again, off topic, but. Or, yeah, something else. When I would go to the principal's office, and the principal would be like, oh, two wrongs don't make it right. And you're head, you're like, bro, I'm defending myself. And then you understand as you get older, you're like, you know what? Kind
of
makes sense.
No, of course. Like, yeah, just we're wrong. We're literally wrong. But obviously, it's just like he said something first. He pushed me or like the person did something that the teacher didn't see. That's the reason why I reacted the way I reacted, right?
We were dictators in school.
But when we reacted, obviously, we're the ones that were caught and we're the ones that people would tell on, right? But that's the whole point. It's just like no matter how people treat you directly or indirectly, do not let up, because by doing that, you give them the incentive that they wanted, right? Which is for you to lose your sense. So you don't want that.
You know what's so funny? You're talking about when someone snitches on you and then like whatever.
Yeah.
Funny, because back in the day, if you got called a snitch, it's like you're over.
Yeah.
You lose like a sense of respect. But now I feel like it's actually encouraged. What I mean snitch is encouraged to go and like, we don't really encourage like clients, obviously, we're encouraged to go speak to someone. Like I feel it's way more encouraged now due to social media. And like it's like impact, and it's what it's done to keep people protected, right? I just feel like, remember, like if you God forbid someone found out you snitched or whatever, or you like told on someone for cheating or like, the smallest thing, like, hey, you snitched, are you cheating?
And by the way, we gotta add to context. We're talking about school, like stuff. Oh, school, yeah, elementary.
I'm talking about school.
We're not talking about like gang, street wars.
I'm talking about ghouls.
As far as schools. Crime, criminal enterprise.
I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about schools, like in school. If God forbid
elementary,
you snitched,
like grade 2 to 5.
Thank
stuff
God you prefaced that.
Yeah.
Thank God.
You people be like, that. Oh, like you're in the streets and you snitch. Like, no, we're not. We're not talking about that. That's a different reality, different kind of side, different rules on laws, regulations. We have no weight, or we can speak about that.
No. That's not. I'm just talking about school. Like talking about school. Thank God you prefaced that. I didn't think of that.
Because we go somewhere and someone's like, what? You condone snitching? Like, oh my God. I represent this end, so like, oh my, like, ready. Like,
what end do you represent? We can't say
sorry,
where we
man.
Live.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, in school, I'm just saying from what I've seen, I feel like when I hear a kid is like, well, I'm going to go tell the teacher. I'm like, bro, you're like, you said that. I remember there's days where like,
I'm going to see on these three quarters.
I remember there's days where like, let's say for example, like, I'm just using him as an example because we obviously work together. Before, on the way to the office, this is how dumb teachers were. It's like, you're allowing the two troublemakers to go to the office. We're going to plan out our story, bro.
Of course.
It's not like if you were there, I'd say it's over.
Yeah.
So we would be like, you say this, I say this, you do this, we'll say this, and whatever. It came to a point where, I guess for me and him specifically, growing up in Weird Fast specifically, they started realizing they couldn't get to us. So they started taking us along.
They're like, oh yeah, separate offices.
They're like, yo. One of you is going to break. Thank God none of us broke. But we did get school suspension, which we don't condone. But again, when you have this dictator mentality as a kid, or you think you own the world, you do get humbled by life.
You get humbled very easy. And that's why I'm so happy about those lessons early on, because now it's like, okay, I see the benefits of not doing certain things. And plus, it doesn't get you anything, you know?
No.
So to see people do the exact same thing as they get older, it's sad, unfortunate, but I can't judge, because maybe they didn't have the information or lessons that we went through at an early age. So it's not until you really know someone's story, then obviously you could give that judgment, and right?
Coming full circle, that's why Ramadan is so important, because it teaches you the key word, which I used to hate for a while. You know what's funny? One of my friends told me how when I was 23, I wasn't as patient as I am now.
Yeah.
He's like, I've seen how more patient you are now with everything. And I'm like, has a lot to do with him. But I'm just saying that patience is really important as a kid, as an adult, as a parent, as whatever. So
it stops wars. It saves lives. It's a very it's a huge difference if people had patience.
Can't win any championships.
Yeah, as far as you know, like yeah, obviously we're back. It's been a while since we've talked. It's been about a month. And that's the thing, right? Right now, as far as everything that's been happening in Gaza and everything, it's like this is I'm not trying to sound selfish when I say this, because people understand what I mean. I'm like, it's a very historical moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, it's a lot of historical moments. like context, because obviously you're going to look back at the situation and see what's going to happen. For me, it's like, once this is resolved, we don't know when or how. And that's a funny thing, even saying a word like that, people are like, how could you say such a thing, resolved and everything? No, listen. Once this ends, if that's a better way of saying it, the conflict stops, ceasefire, things kind of go back. How is the international courts going to handle the situation? Who will be at fault and who will have to pay for the consequences that has arise as far as the atrocities that's been towards the Palestinians? Easiest example would be World War I, World War II. As we all know, Germany suffered most of the blame and as a result had to pay most of the fines as far as the consequences and penalties and punishments if it's caused in both world wars. In this situation, when everything settles down, inshallah, as quick as possible, because obviously we want the lives of Palestinians to be free and liberated and safe, and obviously we want them to get their land as well. But how is the international court systems, state actors, including world leaders, states, going to handle this? Are they going to be accountable? Are they going to be fair? Are they actually going to use justice? Or somehow the state of Israel will get a light punishment for what they've done? That's the thing I want to see, and that's the thing I want to know. Because there is no way that we come out of this and that somehow they are able to continue as far as being a state without having to answer for the actions they have done.
I think you've asked me.
So that is something I am definitely interested in more than ever, because fairness, equality, accountability, all these measures and words that we use as far as the spectrum of society, how it's supposed to act, doesn't matter which side of the world you live on. These are the things are we preach and say in school, institutions, governments, but we have a clear-cut example right in front of all of our eyes, and we have clear evidence with all of the technology footage and things that we've been seeing from witnesses and firsthand accounts. How is the world collective going to address and handle the situation in the way that we preach and talk about as human beings? So that's something I'm very, I don't want to say excited, but very, very curious and very informative about, because this is where, you know how they say, like, put your money where your mouth is?
Yeah.
This is it, you know, for me, at least. So, yeah.
That's a good point. I don't know, honestly, bro, like, when it comes to this whole topic of Palestine, like, me being Palestinian.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not saying I don't see no hope. Obviously, Islamically, you know, there is hope.
Yeah.
But I just don't, at the current moment, see. Like, I hope it does stop, generally. I do hope it does stop. But when you have, like, big powerhouses, like America and Canada and, like, other parts of the NATO or other parts of, like, Europe who are going against. And even though a lot of countries are supporting, but they don't have that much political power.
Of course.
In terms of, like, saying, hey, obviously South Africa was the first country to, like, take them to, like, take Israel to the international.
Shout out to South Africa.
Court of justice and whatever. But here's what I can tell you. So you guys did not know, a couple days ago, two, three days ago, there was the State of the Union. Joe Biden.
State of the Union.
My dad was like, listen, go and stay up until he talks about Palestine. Of course, I'm going to talk about Palestine and Gaza. So, and Israel, sorry. And pretty much he just said Israel has a right to defend itself. I'm getting really tired of hearing Israel has a right to defend itself. Now, here's the thing. When there's a war between two countries, of course, again, that's between the two military groups. But why are civilians getting affected who have nothing to do with this? It's like, for example, if God forbid, like, Canada and America went to war with, like, Australia for some, because of whatever reason. Okay, civilians stay out of it, bro. You guys can go pick a base where you can go go have war from, and that's it. But I think at the end of the day, it's like being Palestinian. Whether you're Jewish, Christian, or Muslim, you definitely just want this war to end. Because I think civilians dying is not the goal here. It is not the goal.
Yeah.
Nor should it be.
It's not the goal. And even the reason behind their motives is very callous for me, the most part. Even if the argument is it's a war, you're trying to infiltrate zones, land areas you can't control. So obviously, whatever weapons are used and how it's used, how it's distributed, those things I understand. But at the same time, if you are going against a group of people, well, number one, are not allowed to have rights as far as land, governments, institutions, and stuff like that, by all means, a small insurgent group that you're going afterwards, the odds of that finding them are way more, you could do a more tactful way of trying to find those individuals as opposed of the massive disadvantaged ways of war that they've been committing that has obviously affected the lives of 30,000 plus and obviously more who have been injured, majority women and kids. So it's the whole question about ethics, morality, and things like that. These are the questions and topics that are very funny to me because it's just like the people who are preaching this and the people who created these concepts, they don't follow what they preach.
No. I just want to say something quickly. About Palestine. I'm getting genuinely tired of people coming up to me and be like, yo, like, what do you think of DJ Khaled? DJ Khaled does not represent Palestine, bro. Like, I just saw a video of his cousin cut ties with him because he's not speaking up. Dude, there are people, like, I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll tie the analogies. When Obama first became president, back in 2009, I believe. 2008. I remember every African-American, Jamaican, African, every black person was happy that this guy got became president. Because they thought in their head at that initial moment, he's going to do things for the black, for the black community. He also didn't. In fact, he didn't. And for whatever reason, I'm not going to get to that. So would I say now that if something happens in Africa, oh, if Obama was president? No, there are multiple educated people, money or no money, that can go and have speak voices. Like when you want to think of like African or African Americans or like black, there's a lot more heroes. Like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, Rosa Parks, and like we spoke about a few on episode 55. If you go back to that episode, when it comes to Palestine, I don't want people to be like, oh, yo, DJ Khaled be speaking out. No, I don't care if he does or he doesn't. His voice is meaningless. You know, it's funny because there's a lot of people who have no money and after with this whole Gaza situation, you have people like Wael Mu'tez who had no platform, but because of like what happened, they became what do you call it? Not idolized, astaghfirullah, but they became like, you know, respected.
Respected, yeah.
With what they're doing and like documenting what's happening. Do I now look and be like, oh, should I be asking DJ Khaled or should I be fixating on the people who are actually documenting it? They don't care if they lose their jobs or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
They're like, and that's the thing you have to understand. DJ Khaled has always been a sellout. I don't care. Like, if he sees me, I'm going to say it to his face. You're a sellout. Because any person that's from any country that's gone to Nigeria, if your country is being oppressed or attacked, and you're not speaking about your country because you're scared of losing your fame, sucks for you. That's why you should not be looking at Hollywood as the answer. Bro, Hollywood has this contract, and a lot of celebrities have spoken about it. Don't want to go too much off topic, but if you saw the Cat Williams interview, he kind of touched upon it. When you want to be in Hollywood, they say you can't talk about this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this.
Yep.
So why are we fixating on, oh, DJ Khaled, he should be speaking about Palestine. Bro, I actually remember a time, wallah, bro, when Sheikh Jarrah was getting attacked in 2021.
Yeah.
People had to bully him. He posted one post of the picture of Al-Aqsa, and he's like, oh, free my home or whatever. Even when he was doing an interview with Larry King, he asked him in the interview, he's like, oh, my people. Bro, I know, God forbid, I think what happened in Ghana, and inshallah, at this point, we're successful. Do you think for a solitary second that if Waze was as big as Khaled's platform, that you think we would care? No, our people are dying.
Yeah.
You can lose the sponsorships. And this is why, if you want to think about one person, sorry, I'm going on or off a tangent.
Oh, go ahead.
But Bella Hadid is the one you should be like fixating on. She's the one that's losing sponsorships and partnerships because she doesn't have to. Because a lot of people in that position would be like, well, why do I have to do it? Exactly. But it's her home. Her dad's from that place.
Yeah.
Khaled has sold himself out. And I said this before on the last podcast with Besma, Susu, Ryan, and I forget the girl's name. But my point is, like, he said the N-word more times in, like, certain songs. And by the way, they're up on YouTube. Go watch them. But when it comes, and he was, shout out Jamaica. Shout out to all my Jamaican friends. But, like, that's cool to shout out Jamaica and, like, shout out their countries. But how come you're not able to shout out your own country? You know? So, like, I'm not proud to say he's Palestinian. He's a sellout. Don't use him as your as your poster board of like, oh, he's Palestinian, or Fauci was Palestinian. Bro, if you don't speak about Palestine, you're a sellout. I don't care how much money you have. It's meaningless. When times like this happen, it's meaningless.
Yeah.
Because in the eyes of Allah, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. So in this Ramadan, I urge you that if you are a hypocrite, change it. Because like, I don't care if you drink, I don't care if you smoke, but when it comes to political issues, you know you have a top-tier job, but your country, no one's saying go out work and speak about it. Go on your social media platform and speak about it. It's your home country. Especially when you have a voice, and Khaled has a voice. But the fact that he's not able to speak makes him like this.
Yeah.
A mouse.
Yeah. No, everything you said was perfect. Eloquent. Yeah, it's perfect. Devil's advocate. As far as your stance on DJ Khaled, it's very fair, and I have the exact same ways, and a lot of people too. Now, the hypocrite, him being a sellout, him not taking a stance, and by him continuously releasing videos, dancing, promoting brand deals, shoes, his music, and all that stuff, clearly portrays an imagery of him clearly ignoring what's going on for the sense of himself, money, status, and stuff like that, and power and fame. Now, as we said in the beginning of the episode, because whether you're beginner, test, things might happen. You could go from being the worst of people to becoming the best overnight because what Islam is and what it gives. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are and what you've committed. Based on everything you just said about him right now, let's say in a month or 2 months, he gets that awakening. We don't know. Hopefully it comes through in ease, not through a bad tragedy. But let's say he gets that awakening. He questions himself, sees everything he's done, and realizes that he is a sellout and that his people hate him. And how could he have put himself in such a position while everybody else is suffering?
Yeah.
If he decides, I am going to start posting content, I am going to start meeting with content creators, I am actually going to create funds, donations, send food and planes, and by doing this, brands start pulling out or brands stop working with them and you start losing contracts and all these different things, because obviously you're speaking on something that's very, very, very tough, and obviously it's very... Because everyone that he's in business with has a set on this issue.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to that. But you know, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he decides to make that step sincerely, intently, and the action is proven, and even beyond the things he starts losing to the point where he loses so much, and he's still on the side of justice, peace, equality for all Palestinians. Because that's where he's from. And that's his people, like you said. Well, the consensus about him being a sellout, by him being fake, by him not caring about his people change if he does that? Like, is that what, if, is that sacrifice? If that's, is that what's needed for him to really become who he should have been with all that's been given to him all these previous years and things that he's worked up for?
That's actually a great question. And I look at it as one time when someone asked me if like Trump converted to Islam, like, and generally converted to Islam.
Yeah.
Well, you have to forget every bad deed he's done. Like, at that point, you can't use it against him.
Yep.
And I think people have to understand there's a difference between forgetfulness and forgiveness. Now, you're not going to forget the things that so-and-so has done even after they're a Muslim, because for you, it's lessons. You're like, okay, if I see this going forward, I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
But if DJ Khaled, hypothetically, to answer your question in short form, if he were to say, you know what, I made a mistake. My people are getting harmed. My family is being affected by this. I have the voice. I'm going to speak out. Then, of course, at that point, if he's genuine about it, you see consistent posts, and you start seeing him losing brand chips. He's like, I don't care. Then at that point, like, I'm not going to take my words back because this is how I felt at the current state.
Of course, okay.
But I'll be the first man to be like, hey, man, I'm like, I appreciate you doing that because... I'm not going to lie, you hurt us as Palestinians by doing that.
Yeah, it's fair.
I'll also be that same man, but my thing is, like, I just want to, like, preface. When you're talking about the state of Palestine, there are bigger people you can look at, like Omar Suleiman.
Yes.
Who, I think we had this conversation
before. Yes, we did. We didn't have it on camera.
Not on camera. I'm not going to mention about what in depth of what we had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all I'm going to say is, like, he recently, obviously, with the whole attack, he spoke about a lot.
Yeah.
So there should be other people in your head that you can mention, hey, there's Omar Suleiman, who's a prominent sheikh in the, you know, in the
US West. And in the world. He's become pretty much that central figure.
Yeah, right? And again, we're not gonna talk about the conversation that me and Muhammad had privately. However, if Khaled tomorrow was like, hey, he puts out a statement, he puts out a video, he's like, you know what? I was wrong. Like, I understand. But also, it's the thing is, when people might be like, oh, people might be asking me, like, well, what if Waze takes off and you guys are in the same predicament? Because I always get asked these stupid questions.
Since the beginning,
you always get asked these dumb questions. Like, oh, you're going to forget where you came from. And I'm like, bro, I want you guys to actually, like, take this into consideration.
Yeah.
Me and Muhammad could have been bigger than we currently
are. Of course, of course.
By talking about certain subjects.
Yeah.
Just to sell ourselves out. Like, you have to ask yourself.
If we just focus on celebrity
topics.
That's it.
Like, in talking about, like, you know, sexual stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's...
Oh, do you understand that our personalities, hyperbolized...
Of course.
...can be captivating as, like, hell.
Yeah.
But the thing is me and Muhammad, our goal was to always, since the beginning, 6 years ago, this April, was to educate the masses, like, educate the people and let them know that, you know, even through honesty, you can still have a platform. And a lot of people, by the way, come up to me like, yo, Waze Podcast. I'm like,
and not to cut you off, but inshallah we're able to do well this Ramadan, and that's something
I mean
but it's just like, to know the significance of that, imagine if we did all those topics and all these things to catapult ourselves to that level, which we know we could have since the beginning. And I think we talked about this off camera years ago. There'll be nothing more worse than by going to one of these places and meeting the individuals. And despite doing such a virtuous act in private, and obviously we set it down in public, for them to be like, despite what you did, I don't even want the water because of who you are and what you promote.
Exactly.
Like, that is, I can't live with that. I know that's something he can't live with. And these are things we talked about in the beginning.
This is 6 years ago, bro.
Yeah, and this is why this platform is amazing.
This is when we're 23 years old.
Yeah, so it's just like, the fame, the money, the stature, those things come alhamdulillah, but it doesn't mean anything if the people we're talking to and getting advice from and having on these platforms feel as if we're shelter on.
Yeah, I remember even like, and just to add on, just so you guys can get to know us more, growing up really early, I remember people would be like, hey, like, you should be talking about, like, you guys want to make it, right? And we're like, yeah, well, that's the goal. Well, if you want to get big, guess, you gotta start talking about other stuff. Like, I gotta talk about like drugs, industry. And in my head, I'm like, dude, I genuinely, like, even though we would have private conversations by ourselves about, like, Drake or Pusha T or, like, just name a few, like, celebrities, Will Smith or Eddie Murphy, whatever. But it's like, I don't see the point of, like, talking about someone's life.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to call you out on your BS on a political point or something you said, I'm going to do that. And you know what's funny? Because, like, Cat Williams got a lot of hate for that interview, though he was saying straight facts.
Yeah.
So a lot of you guys, the thing you don't know, I don't say about me and Muhammad, is that alhamdulillah, we have actually met a lot of people through DM, through messaging, saying, hey, can you come on? But I'm going to talk about through the people that we've actually interviewed. I say alhamdulillah, I don't have the status that they have, because one of the people we met, we interviewed, they seemed so depressed. So depressed. In my head, I'm like, it's always a karma. It's always like a reality thing. It's like, child, if you ever have that like status, I don't want to be that.
Of course.
Because, you know, a lot of what you guys don't understand about Hollywood, if you guys actually really research into it, to get that high status, you have to do things that your nature, your fitrah is not like, that doesn't allow you to do.
Yeah, it doesn't allow you to do.
So it's like, you want to make it this big? Yeah. Well, you got to do this. Otherwise, it's not going to make it. And then because you've had this opportunity, what do you think? But Allah has blessed us with talking to certain people. We're like, you know what? I do see myself, obviously, the more you record, you're going to get more success. But I don't want to be Drake famous. I don't want to be Will Smith famous. I don't want to have to, like, walk my house and have a lot of people look at me weird and, like, scared. So, guys, I get it. Like, you guys always tell us, like, one person was, like, messaged me because she never knew I had a podcast. One of my friends was like, yo, you guys are kind of boring. Like, she's like, you guys should talk about, like, fun stuff. And I'm like, what is fun stuff to you? Like, what's fun stuff to you? Like, if you guys actually paid attention to our podcast, you do see a bit of our personality in. Like, we made a couple jokes about, like, us being in school and whatever. But if you're going to ever, you're not going to ever find me talking about someone's sexual relationship.
Yeah, it's not.
Someone's like, oh, he did drugs or they're partying. I don't care about that, bro.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind me. These conversations about music or about, like, culture, I can have with him privately. Yeah. I don't want to have it with you. If you're going to come to this podcast, as the description says, we're here to educate.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about things that you really want to hear. There's other podcasts for that. There's other podcasts for that. Go listen to them.
Yeah. By all means. It's true. Everything you said is true. And yeah, it's one of those things. It's just like the fame, virtue, all those things that comes with it. The sacrifice. I am not one of those to give in. I know he's not one of those to give in as well. It's not worth it because the downside of it, when the fame ends and you walk away from it, you realize that you gave up something that was not supposed to be gave up in the beginning. Yeah, as a human being, it's foul, it's disgusting, it's terrible. And you see that guilt.
Yeah.
And from us having a few interactions with people as such, it's not worth it. So yeah, we do it the right way. No matter how long it takes, how tough it is, it's more better than doing something that goes against your nature as a human being, especially as a Muslim too. It's like, no.
I just want to say like a couple things.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong, by the way, of doing like, if you, I actually encourage Muslims, if you believe you have a voice, like we believed at 23 that we can create something impactful. And I guess there was roadblocks on the way, which we'll be spoken about time from now. But point is this, SubhanAllah, I was actually talking to one of our friends. Yeah. He was on the podcast, Muhammad Abbasi. And I remember I'm like, SubhanAllah, just look, listen to this theory. Anything that's haram comes easy to you. So, for example, you want to lose your virginity. You're as a Muslim. That, you know how easy that can come? Easy.
Yeah.
But if you want to marry, let's say, for example, you want to marry someone specific. And Allah knows your past. But Allah's trying to test you. Because this person's a genuine human being.
Yeah.
And for you to have this certain person, girl, guy, if you want to have a certain person, Allah puts you a test. It's like, how much are you willing to wait? Because halal comes hard. So Allah could have blessed us with ways down the road, but it's like, he's probably testing us like, okay, with these celebrities that they're interviewing, with these people that they're interviewing, are they going to like switch up? Because they're like, because a lot of people thought after we interviewed, for example, Danny Fernandez, shout out to him, or like Nima Naz, shout out to him, Dave Merhej, one of the amazing guys. They thought we were going to start switching up our content because they're like, oh, they're kind of going, they're interesting. But if you listen to these podcasts, you want to get to know the person. Like if I ever ask people, someone asked me this question, he's like, if you ever had Drake, what would you want to talk about Drake with? I'm like, bro, his business is success. I really don't care, but I already know everything about your rap beefs.
Of course.
It's in your music. I really don't care about that. Like who's the person, the individual, which by the way, we're the only podcast that does it because everyone else wants to make you look bad through their platform so they can get views. And I'm not here to do that.
Yeah.
And I guess my last point to come full circle again is like, if you're, it's like we would always talk about, does money change you? Does money amplify you? I think money amplifies you.
Yeah.
So if you're already a piece of crap person with a platform, when you get bigger, you're going to be a piece of crap person. So I know I said things about DJ Khaled, but it's how I feel politically about how, but I'm not saying he's a bad person. He could be an amazing guy.
Yeah.
But politically, I think he's a sellout
yeah.
when it comes to his country. Don't know him personally.
Of course.
But some people could be like, to be Muhammad about ways, like, ah, you guys are assholes or whatever. But you guys don't know us personally.
Yeah.
You can, whatever, by the way, you guys have, like, the way you view us on, like, podcasting or on, like, whatever is one way.
Yeah.
But you don't know us personally.
Yeah.
You know, it's only, like, 53 minutes in, you're just hearing us talk about what we feel. But
of course, of course.
Let's be honest here. Like, personally, like, we're down the road. Like, we're down, what's that, what's the term? Like,
down to earth?
Down to earth guys.
Yeah.
Khaled could be a down to earth guy. A lot of these can be, but be careful what you wish for, man. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use the time to be successful, use it for the right reasons. Because listen, day of judgment is going to be sooner than you think. You're going to be questioning about the things you do. Me and Muhammad can be questioning about the things that we talk about.
Of course.
That's why we're so cautious about what we talk about on here.
Yeah.
People, you know, people actually think like we can't talk about like I'm like, bro, we can, but we choose not to.
We can. We easily can. Just like anyone else. Trust me. And the funny thing is, like the increments of the podcasting industry, like you see it grow and change and evolve every 2 years or so. From where we started then, like we knew the risk and all these different avenues, but we decided and we came to the idea and realization of what this podcast is and what the potential it has. And by us staying in our lane, respective lane, it can be tainted.
No.
It can be tainted.
It can be replicated.
So.
And yeah, so guys, I think you guys heard us speak about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Palestine, a lot of stuff.
Ramadan, you heard about Bert Maras. We spoke about Hollywood a bit and like, yeah.
But no, thank you for everyone for listening to this episode. Beautiful thank episode. You. We'll definitely have more topics, more guests, as always.
Inshallah.
And like, and I think you have the idea now. It's like when we release an episode, it's with purpose, it's with passion, it's with you in mind and positivity. It's not just because we're doing it just because we have to do it. No, it's like we do something because it's the right thing to do. We don't want anything to be tainted.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to like preface something. We've always said it in the past. If there are things that you do want us to address, like certain topics, just let us know. Because again, or even certain guests, people. I just want to shout out to Ken, to Emel,
who's shout out to her.
Shout out to her. One of our great listeners and always gives us advice. She always tells us, hey, can you interview this person? Can you talk about this? And we obviously do our best. Sometimes we just don't talk about the topics because we feel like we have nothing to say. So we try to get a guest who is obviously knowledgeable in that area. But inshallah, we'll see you next week.
Inshallah.
God wills it.
Inshallah.
In fact, have a happy Ramadan.
Peace. Peace.
You guys thought we were done? I don't think so. We still got to wrap it up. Please follow me at Kusa300. Follow my co-host Muhammad at Muhammad.global. Make sure to follow our page at Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to all our platforms. We drop every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Thank you. We'll see you next week.